Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
That's better. First of all, I want to thank you, Pastor Vincent and the Elder Board, who allowed me to be shared with you in this very exciting time that we can worship God together. And Pastor Vincent, I love you very much because I love your tie. So Alliance, I love it. And you didn't realize that as a local church, when we serve not only within this community, we also connect with the district and the national office. And thank you for your partnership that make the story way more powerful than you can imagine in here. I just asked you a question. Do you notice that in Alliance across the Canada, we have almost around 200 international workers placing in 33 countries around the world? And of the 50th, like most persecuted country in this world, we have international workers currently serve in 16 of those 50 most persecuted countries in this world. That means that an alliance is engaging with the least rich people groups over the world and sharing the gospel where few or none have heard about the gospel. And it all makes it possible that by the giving of your church faithfully to the Global Advance Fund, so they can facilitate the mission works in the different area, such as relief, development, growing the international church, and also doing marketplace work, business for transformations, or even initiate like Jeffrey Project, which is focused on the Gateway South. You heard about it, the new direction of where Alliance heading to. And it's one of the fast growing nations of the world. Did you notice that the Southeast Asian grow by the population of Canada every 18 months? Heard about it. Do you know the Southeast Asia population grow by the population of Canada? This is double what Canada has, which every 18 months. The need is so high in the world. Besides the national, what happened is also in here in Canada, we also have a new expression of church planting that took place for many, 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 many years already. The new venture. At this moment, within the ECD, I think that I was, thanks God, for the past couple of days, we have an international new venture gathering. We found out that both the ECD and the CCD, which is the same district probably around a couple of years ago, we have the one the highest new venture development in the whole country. We have two apprenticeships right now, four discerning communities, 15 new ventures, and also half a dozen conversation heading towards agreement. It's a new expression, new way to find out what God wants the church to serve in the community we never experienced before. We see some people serving through the internet, some people serving the college student, some people using some of the rundown restaurant to do the ministry, some people doing the street ministry. So there's a lot of way of ministry to people in small country, in small township, that you notice that a lot of influx of immigrants for the past couple of years based on the aggressive liberal approach on immigrant policy. So there will be a change of the whole demographic dynamic in the coming few years. A lot of people will move to the small town surrounding the GTA area that we never imagined before that people will be there. So there's a lot of lead in this area, but at the same time, they don't have enough population to form a formal church like we have in here. So we need to find a new way, new expressions to penetrate to all this community so that we can serve it properly. And in talking about this, probably in the first half of this year, all the district superintendents gather together in the national office and just reconfirm one of the things that Alliance Canada is heading towards for this couple of years. Probably you heard about this for many times, but I also want to bring you in the attention at the same time. They want to affirm this direction. Oh God, with all our heart, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, spiritual and power, a mission-focused people, multiplying discipleship everywhere. As you know, this is Alliance, CNMA is Alliance-focused. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, we focus, it's not about we doing the work, it's about how God transforms, seeing every single one of here so that we can step into this journey to discern what God wants every single one of us in here to materialize the mission work that God in our heart in a specific, unique way. And the question is about transformation. And the word is about renewal. How we can renew our lives so that God, I can find out God's purpose in our life. As we begin our personal journey of a renewal, by connecting to Jesus is one of the most important things that we need to. It's not about what we need to do, it's about how we connect with the society, connect with the news, whatever it is. It's about how we connected closely to God and Jesus alone. He is the resources that we can depend on and never will be changed. So that his rich life became to flow into us, truly make us a vibrant alive. The question we're always asking about the question, how come our life is not vibrant? How come our life is so boring? We're just dragging day by day through to worship time, fellowship time, even to our work day, so dragging along. Because we are not allowing his rich life begin to flow into us to make us be a channel to experience his rich, amazing grace in our life. As the scripture has been laid in John chapter 15, 5-6, it's a scripture that we all know is very familiar with it. Put it that way, it's a parable, it's a limitation of expression. I want to put it up front, this is not a parable about whether we will be one time the salvation will last forever or we will walk away from salvation in the middle. It's about, if we're not connected with Christ, what will happen to our life? It's not about whether God is salvation forever or not. It's not about it. But when I go through this, there's a couple of things I need to address first. It's about one of the OT background of this passage. One thing is Jesus is a true vine in here in verse 1. And in the Old Testament, it's always writing, Israel has frequently bespoken of a vine which Yahweh loved and tender. It's God loved and tender. But over and over again, because of the Israel tried to run away, and because of the corruption has made God's people barren. They need to experience all kinds of difficulty because they try to walk away from God. Now, in this parable, it is Jesus who is the real vine that the chosen one that from God tried to reconnect with the people that he chosen. And also at the same time, we need to hear there's a fair expectation from the vineyard owners. Listen carefully. God have expectation on every single one of us in here. We are not nobody. We are in God's treasures gift in his hand and in his eyes. His fathers, our God, own the vineyard and care for it. And there's a responsibility, one of the major responsibility of the vineyard owner is to growing a vineyard that can bear fruit. Is that right? You're growing a tree at your backyard, you expect that tree to have apple coming up, even though the apple is not taste good sometimes, but there's an expectation at all. If you have veggie garden at your backyard, you expect the veggie will harvest before the winter comes. So the branch that bear no fruit will be taken away. When they became dry and lifeless, they need to cast them and then prune them so that it can bear more fruit. Once these branches has beautiful green leaves and seem to flourish, and some of the sources, some of the branches can now bear fruit will be cut away so that the branch can bear more fruit. So there's a lot of pruning in this whole process to make sure that we can bear more fruit. is that in our life we face a lot of challenge, we face a lot of difficulty. God tried this to prune our life. Experience I talked with one of the IW a couple of months ago. He's supposed to be sending out to an area that he need to go. But at the end, because all the visas process, he need to delay for 9 months in Canada before he can get a visa to make appointment to apply for the visa applications. And through this process, he shared that he experienced all the setback. He feels so depressed because he's supposed to go right away in the mission field to do the work. But in order for that, he need to reevaluate his calling in front of God. At the end, he said, yes, I'm so confident in the work I called to do. I'm so confident I can do the work that God called me into because I have the training, I have the experience, I have the capability to do it. But at the end, for this past 9 months, God break me down up to a level that is, God, I am basically, I'm nothing if I'm away from you. You break me down, you prune down my arrogance so that I can become closer to you, so that I can become the channel of blessing to the people that you want me to care for. God used his very own way to prune some of the things that cause us not really connecting to God. At the end, the reality of his disciples. You know that all those disciples are not perfect at all. But at the end, God said that, I will make you clean. I will make you perfect. I will make you to the channel of blessing to the people that I call you to serve to. So that all the unnecessary need have been cut off. The word which Jesus has spoken has pruned them so that they can bear more fruit. A lot of time that we keep on asking, God, please, please talk to me. God, please tell me what I should do. But at the end, the word has been given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit already. The word of God, the most simple book that we everyone had it on hand, but at the end, we are not care much about it. We have different, I think in North America, we are sometimes say so spoiled. We have so many versions. As you go to a new church to preach, some of the church will tell you, okay, Pastor Albert, you need to use so-and-so version because our church is not using this version or that version at all. We have so many of versions of the scripture supposed to help us understand the scripture in a way that we never imagined before. But at the end, how much we care about the word in our life. I remember one time I shared in one of my Facebook pages about a lot of time we said that the scripture is no longer relevant right now. Is it right? It's an old book. It's a book that has been written so many years ago. It's not relevant to what the society is facing right now. And my question from back is not, it's not whether about the scripture is relevant or not. If you think that the scripture is not relevant to us because we put on the lens of this society, look into the scriptures. Instead, we need to put the lens of the scripture to look into this world, to try to challenge this world in the way that God wants us to be. Which lens are we putting on right now? Is the lens of the society? Is the lens of that this where Canada is heading to, that absolute freedom? The political correct? Sensitive to the people need? Or what God wants us to respond in a God perspective in seeing the thing that he wants us to be. Which one comes first is the question we're asking. How we respond to our colleague, our schoolmate, our family, our friend. How we encourage them to grow. How we discussing a social issue that we are facing right now. All the touchy all the sensitive issues that raise up, how we connect with them, how we mingle, and how we connect the kind of conversations, where it's come from? The value of this society, or value that the God using his book to give to us already? That's a question we need to ask. But at the end, God calls into. I always ask the question. We always, as human, we always think that, God, please tell me what I can do for you. God, please help me to use the gift that you've given to us to finish the work that you put in this world. But at the end, I ask the question, do you truly believe that God is the one that created the universe? Do you believe it? Is it God created the universe? Is it? Yes? If God can, I ask the question, if God can create the universe, is there anything that he cannot do that need our help? Imagine that. Can you imagine that? If God is the one that created the universe, did he need anyone to help him to finish the work? If not, the case that he goes into is to partnership with him, to walk alongside, to witness his creative work in this world. We are called to treasure. We are called to work alongside. We are called to witness his miracle work that he's going to finish. What the disciple witnessed is what? His witness was God's power to transform life. The fruit that the disciples bear is not what they do. It's about the life that Jesus in them, so that people can see what Jesus in every single one of us in here. If people meet you, what do they see? Do they see Jesus in your life? Do they see the love, care, joy, and peace, the fruit of spirit that outflow from your every single day life? It's not what you do in the church right now. It's about how you mingle with the people around you and how you mingle with the society that you engage in. It's 24/7. It's not like 2 hours in Sunday morning. It's 24/7. This all cannot come to a pass without the discipleship abiding in Jesus, making his home in him, so that Jesus said that, I will be lived in your life. Because Jesus said that, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Can you imagine that? For the last few days, we have discussed a new venture for church planting. We also talk about, as a local church, the longer we leave the system that we have already set up so that the church can function properly, the system we can rely on. But the end, the church always forgot the question is, God, in order for the church to be relevant to the community right now, is there anything that I need to change? Or is there anything I need to be changed by you? Do you ask this question? Or is that, okay, just come in, join our church. You love our church. Or I want to be part of your community so that my ministry will be relevant to what you need. The question needs to be asked right now. Some of the reflection they have, what happens if we can connect it? You get the effect of our being connected, abiding in Christ. We can have fellowship with our Lord. Do you notice that the central theme of the scripture is about God make us to be in fellowship with himself? I always use this as a description. It's creation, decreation, and recreation. God created this world, God, based on his image, to create every single one of us in here. Is it right? Or what's that? We are so nice. Everyone looks very good in his eyes. Because we create in his own image. But because of sinful nature, we chose to walk away from God so that that perfect creation has been decreated. Decreations. But God didn't forget every single one of here. He take extra step to go out to reach single one of us in here to be called through the salvation that we can be part of this journey. So I call it creation. He didn't form humanity and place them in the universe and said, okay, you're on your own. He created, and the wine he created, and said that I will take good attention to every one of you in here. You are not unknown. I will send my spirit to walk alongside so that you can understand my creation is so wonderful. Because we are created in God's image so that we can have fellowship with him. So when the fellowship was broken, God went to the great length to restore every single one of here. That's the reason I'm asking, is we need to be renewed. We need to always go back and God, is there anything that can broken that relationship? I need to reconnect with you. Is there anything that can stop us from misunderstanding you? Please take it away. God, help me to surrender totally in front of you. Because without you, I'm nothing. Because without you, I cannot do anything. Because without you, I even cannot understand what my direction is correct or not. That's the reason why God calls every single one of us into fellowship with him. Just that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it said, God who has called you into fellowship with his son Jesus our Lord is faithful. Remember, he is what? He is faithful. Even though we are unfaithful, but he is faithful. That's the reason we are that confident that God will not let us wandering around in this world. The question is whether we want to surrender in front of him. I remember when I talked with Kevin Clarkson, the spiritual director of the district, he always mentioned about this. We always said, God, can you tell me what you want me to do? And Kevin said that. If you want to know what God called you into, first of all, you need to have a surrendering heart. Without surrendering, understand his will doesn't mean anything at all. Surrender yourself need to come first. And Christian is called into fellowship with God. To be surrendered, to be transformed, to be renewed, to be relevant to this society, to this world. And then you may ask the question, Pastor, what should I do? I think that Pastor Vincent has been always mentioning that. How's your prayer life? I mean, how is your prayer life doesn't mean how did you go to the prayer meeting. I'm not asking that. It's how's your personal prayer life? How's your personal Word of God in your life. It's not about how much you know. You may go to the Bible quiz, you can be like 100, score 100% for all the answer. But does the word mean anything to you? That's the question. As a Chinese church, we always said that we are very good at academic. That's how we grew up. We know a lot about academic. We know how to be trained the leader to perform the way we want to train. We always train how to do the Bible study, how to do the chairman, how to be the song leaders, how to be the elders even. But the question is, how much time we spend on to examine our internal spiritual life with God? Such fellowship with our God requires our regular interval of time. Just as marriage and family and friendship require time to build up that linkage. It's not about you can tap on the Facebook, you get a couple of yes or like, that is it. It's about the time that you spend with your friend. It's about the time that you spend with God. I noticed that the new venture, we at one day we gathered in a restaurant in the Waterloo area, which how do the new approach also student ministry. One of the students in Waterloo always said that, yes, as I end into the Waterloo, I noticed that Waterloo get one of the best co-op program in the world. But at the end, because you need to go one work term and then one classes that you get, you cannot go to church or home because it's that kind of interval. But the church, local church, receive them and allow them to serve right at the batch. And because of that structures, the student can go in and take the ownership and be part of that transformation of that church culture as they move on for this 6 years of college life. They take the ownership. They take the transformation. They take the connections. That's called them home. And also want to teach you about we won't wither. In verse 5-6 said that I'm the vine, you are the branch. If you remain in me, I'm in you. You bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. On the other hand, we not feed on the wood, feed on the main resources of our life. We will find ourselves consumed by the overwhelming stress in this world. You'll find the class, how should I respond to LGBT? How should I respond to that diversity? How should I respond to Me Too, that kind of all this movement? How should I respond? A lot of people will give all the answers, but we are just bombarded by all the information without knowing, God, really, what you want me to do? You and I need to be sustained by His word, both His written word and His ongoing word to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And yes, because we are free will human, put that way, we are free willed humans. Rather than just like a robot, God allows us to choose whether we want to remain connected with Him or not. This is on us. You may say that, Pastor Vincent, you should tell us what we need to do. I cannot grow mature in you because of your responsibility. And you know what? My previous DS in CCD teach me one thing is, Pastor Vincent will respond to you, but he's not responsible for you. You catch that? Pastor Vincent will just responsible to you. He will show you what you need to do to come closer to Christ. But he will not be responsible for. Because every one of us in here need to take that responsibility, take that step. You cannot blame on Vincent, Pastor Vincent. Pastor Vincent, you're not doing the job. I cannot come closer to you. No. He teaches you all the things that you need to know to move that step forward. This calls us to be a daily routine with our Lord. And also one thing we need to notice that if we come closer to Christ, we have a victory over the temptation that we are facing. We know that our daily confession is required of us and is accomplished by blessing. Daily seeking for the forgiveness of our Lord is very important. Our arrogance, our pride. Sometimes we even look down what God is guiding us. We even didn't care about the people God put around us. Brothers, I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you confessed, I said privately, in front of our God? When's the last time? Or you keep on complaining that how's the other people around us wrongdoing, put the wrongdoing on us? We keep asking God, is there anything I sins against you? Is there anything I sins against the brother and sister around me? God, I am a sinner. I need to surrender enough in front of you, and I ask you to forgive us so that I can be more like you. In James, chapter 1, 14-15, it said,
but each one is tempted when by their own evil desire. He is dragged away and taken. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sins, when it is full grown, give birth to death. It is easily, as we walk in this journey, just one step at a time. We can one step at a time to closer to God. We can one step at a time moving away from God. It's always like a tug of war. We easily give in. We easily drag away, give way to sins, which walking to this death journey. God help us. Help us to be more sensitive to my weakness. Help us more connected and surrendered totally in front of you, so that people what people can see is not my weakness, about how your grace in my life is so powerful. And Romans chapter 6 verse 14 said, For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. You see, under grace, we have given God's spiritual life living right in us, by which we can put to death those misdeeds of the body, influenced by the desire of the flesh. We need not to surrender ourselves for all the temptation, but by the power of Christ, we can do it. And also, as Aaron can say, that we can grow in a godly character. Instead of giving away, we need to take up and grow in a more likeness of Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, 9 to 10, it said, Do not lie to each other, since you have put off your old self with this practice, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of his creator. In the previous point, we said that our daily devotion life is necessary for believers to have victory against temptations, like putting off. But here we're talking about growing ourselves into God-likeness. A daily walk with the Lord is necessary to put on or to grow up or grow maturity in our salvation. We cannot just say negatively that we want to receive a temptation, but say, God, I need to be transformed by you so that I notice that I'm in a temptation right now. Temptation is easy. What happens when you get something from a grocery store and you recognize the register didn't give you the right, but the register gave you a lower price? What will you say? That's okay. They if the inflation is so high, they can handle this. But how's your response? If the people bring you the question is, you need to respect my freedom. How should I respond to the LGBT situation in North America right now? How should I respond? In a godly way, with love and grace. Put it that way. I want to make clear. With love and grace, but also same time, we need to stand firm in what God wants us to do. How should I respond? You need to ask yourself. Of course, different church has different approach. But you, yourself, when this question comes to you, how will you answer? I think at the end, I want to ask the question is, are you satisfied of who you are right now? You need to ask yourself. As a student, as a co-worker, as a follower of Christ, as a pastor, as an elder, as a deacon, as your worship leaders, or as a parents, or as a kids. Are you satisfied with who you are right now in the place? How you respond to social needs? How you respond to the Iran situation, like Israel situation, Ukraine, all this social issue? How should I respond? Are you satisfied, or are you said that God, I need your guidance? So how should I respond in all this turmoil right now? How should I respond? Are you satisfied? Or are you like that? I'm so happy right now. I like this status quo. Don't touch me. Don't change me. I just love it. Or you say, God, come and transform me. Come and renew me. Not by what I want me to be like, but instead of how you want me to be, so that I can be a channel of blessing to you. One of the last I want to tell you is, I meet with an IW which is heading to the mission field right now. I think 6 months ago, when I have a call with her, she shared with me a story that for the past so many years, I try to prepare myself to be a missionary, because I want to be a missionary. I clearly notice that God is calling me to be a missionary. But God suddenly tell me one thing. It's not what I want myself to be like. It's instead of asking God, please transform me to the missionary, the type of missionary that you want me to be, so that I can serve you properly. You understand? God, help to transform me into the way that you want me to be like, so that I can be a channel of blessing, so that I can understand your grace, your love, that I can have a lively life, so that I can be the witness of you. Question is, are you satisfied with who you are right now? Do you want to be transformed? Let's have a minute of quiet to reflect. That is what God is speaking in your life. What area that you feel so unsettled that, God, I don't know what to do, but I just want to surrender. Help me to transform. God, we just need to humble ourselves in front of you. As your Spirit helping us to do internal searching, as an internal examination, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our arrogance, that we, a lot of time, we just put you aside and then do our own way, do our own work. And we just even say that, yes, God, I'm okay. Everything is perfect in my life. Help us to understand you have a much more better highway for every single one of us in here. Help us to have the courage to see you face in face, allowing us to understand where we are right now, and help us to take that first step to transform. Everyone is unique in here. Everyone is not the same. That's the beauty of your creations. And help us to be shine the way that you want us to be. May our life be transformed. May our life be a channel that people can see your grace. May our life became that people said that you are the one that created me. You are the one that sustained me. You are the one that made me the beauty, because who you are. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this time. And we pray in Jesus' name.